Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ormudu, and welcome to Health Chat. It is a rare, non-contagious, genetically inherited difference present at birth. Albinism is a congenital disorder characterized by the complete or partial absence of pigment in the skin, hair, and eyes. While numbers vary, the United Nations estimates that in North Africa and Europe, one in every 17,000 to 20,000 people have some form of albinism. The condition is much more prevalent in sub-Saharan Africa. For example, it is estimated that one in 1,400 people in Tanzania have albinism. So on the program today, we will discuss albinism and some of the challenges faced by albinos, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. And there are many challenges. We'll talk about that. And we'll also look at what is being done to address those challenges. To do that, I have a distinguished panel of guests, starting with Dr. Aisha Sethi, who is joining us via phone from New Haven, Connecticut. Dr. Sethi is an associate professor of dermatology at Yale University and director of the Yale Dermatology Global Health Program. Among her many accomplishments, and she does have a long bio, Dr. Sethi has set up a dedicated dermatology elective exchange program with Kamuzu Central Hospital in Lilongwe, Malawi, for medical students and dermatology residents since 2007. Her albinism awareness work in Malawi has been featured by national media in the country several times and has been positively recognized and supported by the Malawian government. Dr. Aisha Sethi, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here today.
It's great to have you. Also joining us via phone, this time from Abuja, Nigeria, is Mr. Jake Epele. He's CEO and founder of the Albino Foundation of Nigeria. Mr. Epele is also executive director of Regional Albinism Forum Africa, an umbrella organization of albinism interventions organization in Africa. In addition, Mr. Epele is a United Nations albinism champion. Jake Epele, welcome to the program. Mr. Jake Epele, are you there? All right. We'll go back to Mr. Jake Epele in a moment. Let's go to our next guest. Today we're traveling and we're going now south to South Africa in Johannesburg to meet our third guest. His name is Mpo Tiope. He's an author, a speaker, and an activist. Mpo is from a small community in Northern Cape, the only child with albinism in a family of seven children, and the only person with albinism in the whole community, and we will try to understand how that is possible. Mpo is author of the book Life with Albinism Filled with Perils, about the challenges and victories associated with albinism. He is a director of PEO Consulting, which focuses on motivational talks, also an NGO All in His Image, which aims on touring South Africa and eventually Africa, addressing myth, perceptions, killings associated with albinism. Mpo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you. Let's see, do we have Mr. Epele back? Mr. Epele, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. And I introduced you earlier. And just a reminder that Mr. Jake Epele is CEO and founder of the Albino Foundation of Nigeria and is also a United Nations Albinism Champion and Executive Director of the Regional Albinism Forum Africa. All right, my guest, thanks to the three of you for joining us. All of you have such long resumes and bios, and I'm really grateful for your time. This is a very critical topic. It's critical because it's my perception that we don't talk enough about this topic. And it is critical because to those who live with albinism, it is an important topic. And those of us who may not have albinism and may not know directly somebody in our family who has albinism, we need to know what it is and what the people who have albinism go through. And especially for those of us who are from Africa, this is why I'm really glad that we are taking the time to talk about it with the three of you who have such extensive experience in your background. Let me start with you, Dr. Sethi. In my introduction, I mentioned that it is genetically inherited. It is a rare, non-contagious, condition. First of all, is it a condition or a disorder? Can you just clarify that for us from the get-go, Dr. Sethi?
So, yes, first of all, I want to thank you for outlining the non-contagious part and that it's genetic. I think that's one of the key things. So it is a genetic condition, I would say, and not a disorder.
Okay.
I think that's a really important word to use also. And basically, in albinism, your skin and your eyes are affected because there's an inability or decreased ability to produce the pigment melanin that gives all of us our skin color. And there are various types of albinism genetically in which you can produce some pigment to which you can produce no pigment. And in sub-Saharan Africa especially, because it's a closed genetic pool and people marry within, similar ethnicities and within the same village maybe. So because of that, genetic conditions are propagated sometimes. So the prevalence, as you mentioned, worldwide for albinism is 1 in 20,000. However, there are some areas of South Africa and Tanzania where it's been reported as being 1 in 4,000 to even 1 in 1,500.
Wow. Now, what's incredible, and Umpo, I'm coming to you, is the fact that you are the only one in a family of eight, and you are also the only one in your community. Now, what is your experience like being the only person with albinism in your community specifically?
Well, firstly, it was very difficult because, you know, when you start in school, you start seeing things and you're being teased. I mean, they used to call me like a white man's kid and, you know, everybody's black and I would cry. And just because, you know, in South Africa, you hear that black people, white people were bad and everything else. So it used to be bad. Even in school, I'd be teased. And I'm just grateful for my parents that they instilled love. They would say, regardless of what people say, we love you. And I think it's also important that even parents need to instill this, or else because it sits through when you grow older, you know, because many leave school and do all these things.
Very, very important indeed when you talk about love. Love is the foundation of so many things. If many of us had that, I think there are many problems in the world, not just albinism, that we could have resolved. And it takes me to you, Mr. Pele. You are heading an organization in Nigeria that addresses albinism. Now, there is a big problem with albinism in sub-Saharan Africa. It is a reality. We see it in the news. People are being killed. People are being used. Body parts are being used for rituals and different things that are so incredible. And I can't even explain. And it's really shameful when you think about it as an African. Yeah. So can you tell us a little more about what is going on? Why are albinos being treated this way? What are the issues here?
Oh, well, from a Nigerian perspective, I want to say that we go through virtually the same thing, whether you're in Southern Africa or Eastern Africa or Northern Africa. We go through virtually the same thing, but at varying degrees. Generally, in Africa, all of the problems associated with albinism I think I will blame it largely to ignorance, societal ignorance. The society are ignorant about our circumstances. They're ignorant about our colors. They're ignorant about our needs. Government, inclusive, schools, churches and mosques and other forms of worship places. There's a total misunderstanding of our issues. And I like the way dermatologists put it. Our issues are simply conditions and not disorder in a social sense. medically, they may have terms and reasons, but I want to go with the fact that our issues are just a condition that needs total understanding by both the community of persons with albinism and their parents and the larger society. So the problem is across the board. And if we can tackle the issue of ignorance,
uh-huh.
if we can tackle the issues of lack of understanding on the part of the society, if we can tackle uh-huh. the issue of parents who give birth to us and they don't seem to have a reason or understand what they have, you know, I think we'll go a long way.
And ignorance is so critical, and I want us to spend a little time on it, because I think, and when we talk about whether it's racism or discrimination, whatever the topic is, ignorance is one of the foundations. So let's stay mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sethi, let me come to you. I will get each of you your perspective on how we can address it. Dr. Sethi, from the medical perspective, people are ignorant, of course. What do you think that needs to be known, really people need to get in terms of albinism from the medical perspective, whether even it's for the albinos themselves that they need to know, or for the people that are ignorant and need to be educated?
Yes, so I think with awareness, what I've found from my personal experiences dealing with albinism as a medical and a social issue, that the three parts of awareness are education, prevention as far as skin cancer is concerned, and protection. And protection means not only protecting the skin, but protecting the community that is affected by albinism in sub-Saharan Africa from violence. So when I see patients and when I've seen them in Malawi, I think the mother is kind of the key figure, or the elders who come in with the little children, or when I see teenagers with albinism, we try to educate them. And I think there's no better person to educate someone than an adult who has albinism themselves and can tell about their life experience. I think the gentleman here from South Africa mentioned he's one of eight, if I'm correct, siblings.
Yes, yes.
And love is a key thing, and love and acceptance are key things by parents. You know, we've seen parents who leave the children, and I've seen them being raised by grandparents. So I think the acceptance part, and it's from my role as a physician and somebody who advocates for human rights in this community, is love is key, acceptance is key, and education is key, which is much needed, I think, you know, at a community level.
So let's talk about some of the challenges medically. You mentioned skin cancer. There is also eye problem. Can you take us briefly through some of the challenges and what
sure.
People can do to address them, people with albinism?
I think what we're all doing probably individually, at least what I feel like we've done, is just a drop. But, you know, a drop in the ocean is still a drop. So the challenges are that, you know, that skin cancer is very prevalent in albinism because there is no melanin pigment or decreased melanin pigment to protect the skin from ultraviolet rays from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up also happening, there's a shortage of supply of sunblock. You couple that with the lack of awareness sometimes in maybe rural areas that they need to use long sleeve clothing, wide brimmed hats, and not have the children play out during peak hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you see early skin cancer affecting those persons with albinism in sub-Saharan Africa. Whereas skin cancer, the kind that happens in albinism, is hugely preventable and curable. In most of North America, this is something that people have easily taken care of in an outpatient setting. So we need to educate the physicians also and the providers. So that's another key to this whole campaign, I think.
Okay. And we will go back to ignorance there, because Umpo and Mr. Pella, I definitely want to have your perspective on this. We have to take a short break for the news.
Yes.
And when we come back, we will continue this very important discussion on albinism. It's time now for the news with Ruth Adisu.
Good evening. Trying to tie the knot could lower your risk of stroke and heart disease. Researchers have found that those who are single, divorced, or widowed have 42% higher chance of developing cardiovascular disease. The study published in the Heart Journal also revealed that not being married increased your risk from dying from heart disease by 42% and by stroke, 55%. Researchers have suggested that marital status should be considered as a risk factor for these conditions. The African Prize for Engineering has been awarded to Brian Gitta. The Ugandan computer scientist has invented a device that tests for malaria within 1 minute. The device, called the Mati Babu, can accurately detect malaria without the sight of blood, according to the Royal Academy of Engineering. The device comes at a low cost, requires no special expertise to operate it. Mati Babu clips onto the finger of the user, then laser discerns multiple properties of the red blood cells and attributes them to malaria. And that's your wrap-up for the latest news. Lenore, back to you.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing albinism with my guest, Dr. Aisha Sethi, Associate Professor of Dermatology at Yale University, Mr. Jake Epele, CEO and founder of the Albino Foundation in Nigeria, and last but not least, Umpo Tiope, motivational speaker, activist, and author of the book Life with Albinism Filled with Pearls. And Umpo, let me come to you. We talked about ignorance earlier. What do you see as some of the aspect of albinism that you really want to shed a light on? What are people ignorant about?
I think most importantly, there are with educational issues that I've picked up is that as much as we need to educate people without their condition that about albinism, we need to also educate ourselves with ourselves, because there's so many things that are said about us. I mean, the subhuman names, like we are called monkeys. So what I do is I always emphasize that as much as I would teach different communities, because I go to different communities and teach about albinism, and I know that there are I've even divided it into three challenges that we have as people with albinism, because it's the psychological ones where we are repeatedly told that we are ugly, we are this, we are that, and then because that weighs you down psychologically, and always being trying to define yourself, and social issues, because some people they got chased away for dating people with albinism, and you're called that you the myth that when you die you disappear and you have superpowers and everything. And then educationally, so, people leave school for being teased at school. Some even commit suicide. I mean, and also we have challenges. So those are, for me, serious challenges. And what is also important is that, which I think many countries, especially in region, last week we were in Malawi, and what happened was there was a road that there's no fencing or in the borders where this street you are in Mozambique and this street you are in Malawi. So what happens is that if we don't treat albinism challenges regionally, as in Africa, then we'll always have a problem, because this started in Tanzania and it slowly went to Malawi, and now part of South Africa, there are killings, and even in Zimbabwe. So we need to work together as that's what I always emphasize in my trainings, that if we don't do that, we will always have, even countries that say there's no killings, we will always have that, because Africa is so, we are one, actually. So in a sense, if one can easily, because even the commissioner in Malawi was saying that people kill in Malawi and then they run to Mozambique. So they whenever they search for them, they run into to Mozambique. So that is a problem, because since 2014, there have been 145 killings, and there's nobody who's been arrested. So it can only work if we treat it regionally and if we concentrate our resources properly on educating people before instead of waiting for a challenge to or a crisis to happen, like in Malawi, for an example. Now it's a crisis, and now we attend to it. And then once the crisis leaves and comes to South Africa, for an example, then we'll only attend to it now. So that's why I go to communities, even in South Africa, before things happen.
And very good point.
I'm taking forever.
No, it's fine. And Mr. Pele, I'm coming to you because Mpo says something so important, fighting ignorance regionally. You are executive director of the Regional Albinism Forum Africa. So what is your take on this? What is being done and how through the organization, perhaps?
Okay, let me talk about what is happening in Nigeria and then across Africa.
Sure.
First of all, let me give my opinion about what is responsible for the ignorance.
Yes, please.
Majorly speaking, myth, superstitious belief, cultural stereotypes are largely responsible for the ignorance. There are too many things that too many people believe about us that are not true. And those myths have been held on to for a very long time. It has become like normal or true, even though they are lies. I think largely this is what is responsible for the myth. People have believed the lies to a point that it's looking like truth. Now, that's a problem. What did we do as a foundation to address that? We started very strategic advocacy, trying to debunk those myths and lies and present the general public with the truth. We published books in various languages in Nigeria that the locals can read, both persons with albinism and government. We also instituted the first national policy on albinism. And I think it's right where Nigeria is the first country in the world to come out with a national policy on albinism in 2013. I know that there are other African countries that have, most of them have response plans, strategic document, you know, but a policy document, I think we were the first. We went up, we scaled it up to a legislation. So we have a bill at the National Assembly that recognizes several strategic government interventions. Take, for instance, the skin cancer. We're the first to have free skin cancer treatment that is intervened by the federal government of Nigeria. The federal government has a designated hospital that they're treating persons with albinism absolutely for free. All you need, they have skin cancer, all you need is a referral letter from the foundation, then they will treat. Now, because it is just a one hospital structure, tomorrow, incidentally, we are taking a ministerial memo. A minister of health is introducing a ministerial memo to the National Council on Health to get the approval for that project to be strategically planned and sustained and cascaded to 6 teaching hospitals in Nigeria to allow rural dwellers go to the nearest teaching hospital and get this intervention. Uh-huh. Now, because of the strategic program and project we have established, I think we are the first albinism organization in Africa to get the European Union grant on access to social services. And we're also working with the European Union for persons with disability and albinism on political and electoral process participation in Nigeria.
Okay, Mr. Pele, these are some very good accomplishments, and I wanted to let Mpo, could you react, because I don't know in your part of the continent.
I wanted to say that actually that in South Africa we do have grants being given to people with albinism, like the social welfare, and we have fund schemes which are available to in clinics and things. And very interestingly, I'll just add something. When in Malawi, I learned that that's why I stress that it is key that we work together with other countries, because they learned that we have police people with albinism in South Africa, and they were like people with albinism were denied the rights to even go and be like police services and so forth. So those are the challenges where I was able to engage and say, like, if South African can do 1, 2, 3, it's proof positive that if a person with albinism can be a policeman here or do certain things, then a person with albinism in Malawi can certainly do that. And it is key that everywhere in Africa we learn that albinism discrimination and abuse has been institutionalized. And that is key in a sense that's why I've always said that the books need to be in school so that the book that I have, so that I don't even mind giving it to government for free, so that it can also debunk the myth, because it took years, maybe 50 or 100 years for something to be there for the myths and everything else, and it needs to be in school so that we can be able to teach the coming generation for that, or else we'll forever be trying to using resources to try and do this and do that with faith. And that is why it is key to work together. In Tanzania, we see that the work that they did, I say that the solution they come up with for people with albinism, for me, is not fine, in a sense that they decided to just take all the people with albinism and say, okay, people are bothering you, we'll put you in a camp, and then you'll live here, and we'll put police around you and surround you.
Oh, wow.
So which is even worse than what is happening. So the thing that I push is to ensure that we don't necessarily treat albinism in a way that is this person or this country treats it this way, that country treats it this way, and as a result, it will create a chaos that is happening where people are being killed and so forth. And it seems that we have aid and we are assisted, but there's no solutions. It's because we everybody else, it seems to me, that everybody else is fighting their own battle in their country, but not realizing that what affects South Africa affects Zimbabwe.
Yes,
affects
it's definitely
Malawi,
global.
And so forth.
Everything is interconnected, and unfortunately we're running out of time, but I wanted to get your take, Dr. Sithi, real quick, because you worked in Malawi, and Mpo talked about being in Malawi recently. Can you give us a sense of your work there and what has been done very quickly before we leave?
Sure. I think what has been done is that the Albinism Association of Malawi is working closely with the government. Medically, there is a clinic in Lilongwe, the capital city, that operates every Thursday providing care to those with albinism. And there's over 200 patients with albinism coming there for sunblock and skin care protection. So much still needs to be done, but I think just starting at the grassroots level is really important, and then spreading it out to the major cities and rural areas. And like everybody here has said, that people need to come together, and putting people with a certain condition based on their color, their faith in camps, that's not the solution. So I think awareness is key, along with the medical education of those with albinism.
Thank you so much. We have to leave it there. I do hope we have a part two and to get all of you back, because there is so much more to talk about. And Dr. Sithi, Mr. Pele, and Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was Dr. Aisha Sithi and Jake Mpele and Mpochiope. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Fatou Kalala and Ruth Adiso with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
tuned for Africa News Tonight.